Here's an overview of chapter 1. There's a lot of material in this chapter. We want to just hit the high points. You're going to have to forward the slides. Go to slide 2. This is a poster child for statistical literacy. It has a statistic without any numbers. It's in the word faster. This bear can run faster than we can. You have to compare the speed of the bear with the speed of the hunters. Secondly, it has an alternative explanation. The numbers aren't sufficient to tell you the outcome. Just because the bear can run faster, the first hunter says it's hopeless. But the second hunter, statistically literate, says, no, it's not. I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you. The second hunter has an alternate explanation. Slide 3, a review. Statistical literacy is the ability to read and interpret summary statistics in everyday life. There are two things we're going to cover in this chapter. The relationship between statistical associations and causation. And secondly, the full range of influences on a statistic or a statistical association. And the phrase we're going to use is take care. So let's start with arguments, because that's where we usually find statistics. On slide 4, an argument is a group of claims designed to support something that's disputable. The diagram in figure 4 shows 4 different kinds of inferences, 4 different kinds of unobservables that arguments generally involve. Starting at the top, an observable, such as the data in a sample, is used to generalize to a larger group from some to all. On the right, we start with something that's observable in the past to the present, and we move to the future. Another inference, another disputable claim involving an argument. At the bottom, we're moving from something observable about a group, and we're inferring what may be true of a subject, an individual. Your doctor, your mechanic do this. You take your car in, the mechanic hears kabakada pakada, and says, that's $2,500, timing chain. On the left side, moving from the present to the past, from effect to cause, to try and explain what's going on. When you ask your mom and dad how or why as a little 2-year-old, you are asking for an explanation. This is what a lot of the research in the social sciences involves. So now we've got the idea of an association. That's an observable. It's a connection. Slide 5. It may be causal, such as thunder follows lightning, or it may be coincidental. The taller candidate for president has won every election in the last 50 years. Or it may be questionable. Maybe there's a reason why the taller candidate wins. Now, there are 3 relationships between association and causation that we need to study. The first one is commonly said by statistical educators. Association is not causation. But this is ambiguous. What they mean is, number 2, association is not necessarily causation. But, number 3, association is often a good sign of causation. We need to know the difference. Turning to slide 6, what are the linguistic signs, the words that are used to indicate association from causation? They're pretty clear. Association has synonyms like correlation and goes together. Causation has synonyms like effect, result, and prevent. Anytime you have sufficiency, the more of this you will get. Or something that's contrary to fact. Those who do this get more of something than if they hadn't done this. But, slide 7, there are a host of words and phrases that are between association and causation. These are the most common in the everyday media. The most common of these are action verbs, verbs like cut and reduce and increase. You've got the logical words. Premature death because of or due to. We've got the joint comparisons. Is this increased? This increased. Or the temporal connections. This followed this. This preceded this. Now, all of these imply causation for most listeners. But for experts, they only assert an association. They don't assert causation. And that's how we're going to treat them in this class. So we've reviewed grammar. Let's take it away. Let's look at some graphs to see how correlation and causation can be illustrated. Slide 8. Our relationship entered its decline at this point. But that's when you started graphing everything. First person says, that's coincidence. But that's the issue. Is it coincidence? Is it not? It may be. It may not be. That's the difference between correlation and causation. Slide 9. He says, I used to think correlation implied causation. And then I took a statistics class and now I don't. She says, sounds like the class helped. And he says, maybe. Why maybe? One explanation is it was the class that helped. But there are other explanations. He may have matured. He may have learned it from a friend. There are a lot of reasons that he could have reached that conclusion. Now I don't follow taking the statistics class, but it didn't say that the statistics class caused him to reach that conclusion. So we're back to looking at, is it coincidence? Is it causal? Slide 10. 24 hours a day, 24 beers in a case. Sounds like coincidence to me. The next one, 45% of Americans don't pay any tax, federal income tax, 43% saying they're paying the right amount. Is that just coincidence? Maybe those that don't pay feel they're paying the right amount. I don't know, but it makes us wonder. Let's look at some graphs to see this relationship between association and causation. In slide 11, we've got on the horizontal axis tons of lemons imported to the U.S. from Mexico. It's been increasing every year from 1996 to 2000, almost double. On the vertical axis, we have the total highway fatality rate in the U.S. going from less than 16 to less than 15, whatever the units are. And we look at the association between these two, it's almost a straight line. As lemons imported increased, U.S. highway fatality rate decreased. That's an association. But do we see any causation in this? I can't imagine how lemons causes a reduction in highway fatalities. Take a look at slide 12. It's a complex slide. The tall bars in the background are the total kilocalories sugar consumed in the U.S. every year. It's been a slight increase. The dots in the center are the cases of diabetes, a tremendous increase from 1980 up to the year 2005, an increase of 10 or 15 times. The bars at the bottom in red are the sugars related to the high fructose corn syrup. Notice how they've increased at the same time. That's an association. Could it be that diabetes is associated with high fructose corn syrup? There, we might wonder. We don't know. What the body is consuming may be related to problems in the body. Turning to this next slide, slide 13. On the horizontal axis, we have minutes to defibrillation after a heart attack. On the vertical axis, we have the percentage that survive the heart attack. As the time increases, the survival rate decreases. Here we have good reason to think this is causal. The time the heart isn't working means the fine. The brain is without oxygen. And being without oxygen is definitely a cause of death. So now we've looked at association and causation. Now we turn to the second part of this chapter. What are the various influences that can affect a statistic or a statistical association? Now remember, our number one explanation is it's a causal relationship. Number two is it's coincidence. It's just an accident. Number three is the slide we're looking at, slide 14. There are four different kinds of ways that statistics can be influenced by other things. They may be responsible for the association. And on the next slide, slide 15, we use the phrase take care as a little mnemonic, a way of remembering the four influences. The C stands for context. Simple things like ratios, confounding. I know that's a word you don't use often. It's central to this course, and I'll pick it up in the next slide. The second word, A, assembly. It's how things are put together, how groups and measures are formed. It's not a matter of formulas necessarily. Number three, the randomness, both in small samples and in big groups, large numbers of events. The fourth, error or bias. We're going to review each of these four, but you should be able to come back to tie everything you learn in this course under one of these four categories. Slide 16. The most important part of context is confounding. To confound means to confuse something. Check it out in the Bible in Genesis. Now, a confounder is a cause of the confounding. It provides an alternate explanation. Take this association. People who carry lighters are more likely to develop lung cancer. Now, we don't believe lighters cause lung cancer, but we know lighters are associated with smoking, and we know that smoking is related to lung cancer. In this case, smoking is the alternate explanation. Smoking is the confounder. In this course, you're going to learn to see confounders, alternate explanations. Take a look at slide 17. This involves baseball. The vertical axis is season wins. And I want to pick two teams here. On the far right are the Yankees. On the far left, just below the 72 line, the average for everybody, are the Mets. Back to the Yankees. The Yankees manager comes into the owner and says, "Once again, the Yankees are above average. I'd like my bonus." Going to the left, the Mets manager comes in and the Mets owner says, "Once again, the Mets are below average. I'm ready to fire you." Now we add statistical literacy. The payroll on the horizontal axis. Back to the Yankees. The Yankees owner says, "There's no bonus this year. I gave you the largest budget in the league. I expected more." That's the diagonal line there. You were below expectation. When I take into account the money you had, you didn't perform well. I may fire you. Now we go to the left, to the Mets. The Mets manager says, "Given the small budget I had, less than a fifth of what the Yankees had, I did better than expected. I'm good, and I'm looking for a better job if you don't give me a bonus." This is statistical literacy. Seeing how an association changes after you take things into account. Next, we turn to assembly in slide 18. Half of U.S. kids will get food stamps. That's a big number. How did they get it? Well, it's how you define kids, anybody up to age 20, and how you define get. get during this month, this year, or at some point during their lifetime. The longer the period, the higher the percentage. That's how they got the half, by saying at some point during their childhood, by age 20. So that's A, R, randomness. Hot streaks. Are these just coincidence, or are they examples of skill? How about this blackjack winner that wiped out the Tropicana's profit here in April of this year? A single patron won $5.8 million at a high-stakes table. Could this be just coincidence? Or was that single patron really that good? That's what we're trying to figure out with randomness. Finally, in slide 20, error or bias, we're going to talk about three kinds of bias. One is response bias. Most adults think they're above average drivers. But all of us can't be above average drivers. That's response bias, where we're misrepresenting a truth about ourselves, our thinking, or what we know about the world. The measurement bias would be in how you ask a question. If I ask parents, do you think your child is above average or below average in school? I'm going to get a lot more above average than below average due to the way I set up the question. Third kind of bias comes from the group you select. Supposing a study finds that most shoppers would rather shop at Costco rather than at Walmart. Were these shoppers surveyed? They were surveyed as being shoppers at Costco. Well, of course they'd rather be at Costco. That's where they're at. If they wanted to be at Walmart, they'd be at Walmart. Conclusion. If we're going to be statistically literate, we've got to be able to follow the argument, analyze the argument, understand the influences, and reach a reasoned conclusion. This is a skill. You're going to work on it again and again in this course. Once you acquire it, you can use it on a daily basis throughout your life. Thank you.